Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
I think that this is something that each one of us really needs to grasp and understand. But I also want to recognize as I start that not all of us are believers here today. While I believe that this content is so important for every follower of Christ, I know that not all of us sitting here today would say, well, that's me. I'm a Christian. I know that there are many among us here today who are saying, I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm not really sure. I would say to you today, and I celebrate the fact that you're here. I love that. I would say to you today that this content is equally as important and equally as vital for you as well as the believer. So I believe that the content of what we're going to talk about today is really such an important essence of culture and society. And so whether we're a believer or not, this is what I believe we need to consider, this idea of choosing to submit. Submit is not a word that has a great connotation in our world, right? I mean, when you think of submission, when you think of these things, it often probably you think of weakness, right? That's what I think of. I think of defeat. Submission is commonly defined this way in various dictionaries. It's the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. That's the idea of a superior force in our, we don't like that. We like to be the superior force in our life. We don't like other people to do that. It's got to be somehow how the University of Michigan football has felt for most of the year, right? So they go to places and there's a superior force until they played Indiana. Yeah, right? I'll take my lumps in the fall, all right? It's probably how the majority of East Lansing feels this morning, right? They met a superior force, apparently. It's how football teams have felt when they came into Raider Field this year, district champion football team. Very cool. I will not touch the volleyball thing, all right? We got two district champion coaches sitting here. They're worshiping together. Let's keep it good, all right? They're going to play each other Tuesday night, and Jesus will be glorified. It's all going to work out. I thought about submission in the idea of MMA wrestling and fighting. Have you ever watched any of that stuff? I mean, when you go to YouTube and type submission, okay, all you're going to see are fight scenes where men and women are ripping the necks off of people. It's crazy stuff. And they tap out like that's enough. And so that's what we have in our mind when we think of submission. It's this idea that we are weaker, that we are losing, and that we are out of control. And that's why I think submission, when it comes into our minds, takes us to kind of a bad place. I don't like to submit. Is it possible, though, that submission means something just a little bit more than yielding to a superior force? Merriam-Webster Dictionary also says that submission is the state of being obedient. Now, obedience isn't all bad, right? We all have to obey things. We had to obey the speed limit to get here, hopefully. We have to obey the price of gas or groceries. Without the general understanding of obedience, we would all be fugitives. We would all be lawbreakers, right? So obedience is something that we all need. And so here's how I would summarize this. There are things in our life that we must submit to, that we have to submit to. But there appear to be many more things that we get to choose to submit to as well. And choosing to submit carries with it a lot of power. As a matter of fact, the ability to choose submission is really at the fulcrum of this whole Family Strong series. We've talked about choice in all of them. We're going to choose who to cheat. We're going to choose who to love. We're going to now choose who we're going to submit our will and our desires to. Now, when we're talking about the context of family and submission, if you've been around the church for any length of time, or if you've been in Scripture for any length of time, your mind might run right to Ephesians chapter 5, where it says these words, "Wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife." And that's where all men check out, For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives, this is where they check back in. So you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. It seems like they just kind of go fall asleep in the middle of that whole passage, but they like the beginning and they like the end. And that's where we tend to stay. And most guys are right now saying, pray and dismiss, pray and dismiss. But I'm not going to do that right now. We're going to talk about what this means today, because I don't believe that we need to be people who narrowly understand a passage of Scripture without trying to understand the complete essence of what the Bible is trying to tell us. I mean, the Bible has a message. It starts in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. And we need to look at all of the Scripture through the totality of this message of the Scriptures. And when we want to look at a passage like this one in Ephesians, and we want to narrowly define it according to what we just read in these three or four sentences, it's a very dangerous place to be. We aren't people who are going to just try to fit our own ambitions within the context of one or two verses. We are going to be people who are going to look at what submission means in the context of all of Scripture. Now, the New Testament was written not in English, but it was written in Greek, right? Much of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, so a lot of times we look at Hebrew words when we're in the Old Testament, but the Greek culture was primary in the time of the New Testament being written, and so the New Testament was first written in Greek. And within the Greek language, there are close to a dozen words used for submission. And they all carry with it very specific connotations, very specific meanings and understandings. The most common Greek word is this hupotasso. It is used commonly within the context of military submission, which would mean to surrender on the battlefield. But often, hupotasso is used with this definition as it relates to relationships. So if the writer is using hupotasso in the context of human relationships, this is the imagery that it would convey. This idea to get under and lift up. This idea of a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. This is a word that when it's quite different than what we would naturally think of submission. Right? There's no connotation here of a superior force. This is to get up under something and lift it up to support. As a matter of fact, when I think about this, submission may have nothing to do with responding to a superior force. Submission may have everything to do about your voluntary act of wanting to serve someone else. It actually carries with it the idea that you are the stronger and you are submitting to the weaker. Now, that's very different than how we think of the word, isn't it? Hupotasso carries with it the idea that anyone at any time could submit themselves, become obedient to someone, to give in, to cooperate with anyone, no matter where they find themselves on the hierarchy of society. And this is the word that most commonly is used in the Scriptures that we're talking about. It appears to have nothing to do with superiority and nothing to do with a structure of culture, a structure of society. So here's what I'm thinking. For the world, for most of us this morning, submission is about authority. Who is over me and whom I'm over. But for the follower of Christ, submission must be about priority. How do I put the needs of others ahead of my own? This is a totally different way of looking at the ideas conveyed within submission. So as we look at the Bible in its entirety today, we're going to discover that it often speaks of submission, but it rarely speaks of it within the limits or the confines of a relationship between a wife and a husband. And that's what we naturally run to. But that's not in the totality of the Scripture where it's most commonly spoken of. The Bible never uses the word Trinity, but it talks about a Trinitarian relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And within that, there is often great conversation about the submission that the Son has to the Father. We often see Scripture speaking about submission from slaves to their masters. We see in the New Testament that there is to be submission between the believers of Christ and the communities in which they live in and the civic leaders in which are over them, many of which are against the way. They're against Christianity, and yet over again, Paul and the other New Testament writers speak of submitting to their authority, for their authority comes from God. And so this is very interesting that we run to a very narrowly casted idea of what submission is in the context of family, yet Scripture is always using a very broad brush in talking about this concept. Submission was never intended to be gender bias. The ideas of submission were never intended to be the idea of giving some unmerited power to some undeserving authority over us. I would contend that submission on earth between humans, between you and I, is actually a way of helping us understand submission within the greater kingdom of God. Jesus spoke of submission quite often. In John 5, he said, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son also does." This is the Son of Man with all authority in his grasp, who can heal people, touch people, and he says, "I do nothing without the Father doing it first." He's saying, "I submit to the will of my Father." Just in a little while in John 6, he says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will." And then that is challenged to the core, as recorded in Luke chapter 22, in this final prayer that Jesus prays before he's to be given over to the authorities and eventually hung on a cross. He prays, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me." That's a prayer I can identify with, right? Take this pain away. Take this cup of suffering away. Do not let this thing define me. But Jesus did not end his prayer there, because he said, "Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." And that is a prayer of submission. See, I often pray the other prayer. That's a prayer of omission. I want this to be omitted from my life. I want this to be gone. I don't want to have to go through this pain. But Jesus taught us to prayer of submission that says, "Even so, not my will be done, but yours." Jesus understood submission to his heavenly Father. He cooperated with his Father in the mission. You could say that he assumed a large part of the responsibility of the mission. You could say that Jesus carried the burden of humanity on his shoulders as he submitted to his Father. But here's what I find to be most intriguing about Christ, is he didn't stay at that place of hierarchy. He didn't just submit to the will of the Father. Paul says it like this, as recorded in Philippians. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The imagery, as I always read this selection of Scripture, this imagery that Paul is painting for us, is so incredible. It's of a God who lived before time, who had comfort and dwelling in heaven, something that our minds are limited to grasp and understand. But that's why Jesus came and accepted the mission and dwelt among us. But he didn't come to be served. See, it would be one thing if Jesus were to come to earth and then we would say, "Hey, that's the Son of God. That's pretty awesome." And we all built a temple around where he sat. And we all came and we worshiped there. That would make sense to us, right? But that's not what Jesus came to do. What Jesus came to do was to remove himself from that hierarchical understanding of, "I just submit myself to the Father," and he took himself to the very lowest of lows, and he took himself below humanity, and he subjected himself to humanity for humanity's sake. Jesus, though he didn't need to necessarily in so many ways that we would think about it, he allowed himself to be submitted to us. That is not a superior force over a weaker force. That is the superior force of all time, submitting himself to the weakest forces of all time. So all of a sudden, We have to step back and look again and say submission must not be about authority. It must not be about power. It must not be about cultural norms. Submission is about a choice of serving for the greater good and for the greater need of others. Submission, at its core, is the act of becoming Christ-like. Hear that? Submission, at its core, is the process in our own lives of becoming like Christ. And frankly, friends, that is our goal. Your goal, if your goal is to say that I'm a Christian and I prayed a prayer somewhere and now I can say I'm a Christian, we're missing the essence of what God wants for us. If you say, you know what, I'm a Nazarene, and you go, what's a Nazarene? That's the denomination you attend, all right? Some of you, I thought it was just Flushing Community Church. Well, it is. We're a part of a great Nazarene church. And you can say, man, I'm a part of a great denomination, and you are. But if that's your only goal, to be a Nazarene, you're missing the essence of what God wants for you. But when you say, I am a follower of Christ, and I want to be like my Christ, suddenly we've got to take on what that means. That's transforming, and that changes who we are. This is how Paul wrote about it in Philippians. I'm jumping from Philippians to Ephesians and all around today. He says this, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort in His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And then he says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Submission is taking on the attitude of Christ. What does that look like? I'll give you a couple things to think about. If we could only learn how to serve one another better, we would be taking on the attitude of Christ in our homes. How can you serve one another better in your homes? I'm saying this to children as much as I'm saying it to adults. How can we serve one another better? If we could only see inside the soul and sometimes see the hurt and the pain that often people wear on the outside as something totally different, if we could look in the soul and see the hurt and pain in others, then we would be taking on the attitude of Christ. If we could take time out of our busyness and go pray with a sick friend, we would then understand a little bit more clear the attitude of Christ. If we could stop and see the needs of our friends and see the needs of our family and see the needs of our spouses, see the needs of our children, see the needs of our parents, then we would be taking on the attitude and the likeness of Christ. Mutual family submission. Mutual family submission. Not wife to the husband, not parents to the children, you know, that it's all bottom up where the wife has to submit only to the husband and the children have to submit to their parents. I'm talking about a circular idea of mutual submission where everybody is interested in the best of everyone else. That is biblical submission. And to me, as I look at it, it is the mortar. It's the glue that holds our families together. Now, you can make an argument that love is the mortar and the glue, and I won't argue with you. But intermixed with that mortar is submission. It's a powerful tool of God's grace. It's a powerful tool of God's love. It's the ability to bless others. It's the ability to meet the needs of others in our families. And when kids don't submit to their parents, it don't go so well, does it? It doesn't. The foundation is weakened. When spouses don't mutually submit to each other, it leads to incredible frustration. And honestly, when parents don't take time to even submit to their children and show that kind of love, anger and bitterness often takes root in the heart of the child. This is a circular impact of mutual submission that we need to grasp and understand. So this is what happens when our homes become broken and split, and they often do. The language of God's love and grace becomes very difficult to decipher. When I could almost say with a certain level of assuredness that for homes that struggle, for homes that split, for homes that get torn apart, at the core of it, oftentimes is going to be this idea of lacking an element of mutual submission. Somebody's demanding, somebody's not listening, somebody's not giving in, somebody's not doing what I need them to do. And we break apart. And when families break apart like that, what happens is that language of love and grace that can flow through submission suddenly is hard to hear. Children miss it, adults miss it, and it goes from generation to generation, and we lack the ability to hear God's love and grace because we choose not to submit to one another. And this is very thin ice for us today. I don't want this to sound like judgment. I recognize that many of us come from brokenness. I don't want this to sound like I'm coming down on anything that you are experiencing, but what I want to leave you with is this, that it doesn't have to be toxic. Your homes don't have to be filled with non-submissive people. Because if we understand how God's kingdom is working, that the Son submits to the Father, and when we understand that we are to submit and have the same attitude of Christ, that we are to submit to others as well, suddenly we can be changed. We can take on something different through God's transforming love. He desires to shape and to mold our attitudes, to mold our mind, to be like Him. And we can change. I believe that our once selfish attitudes, our once selfish ambitions can be transformed into becoming more like Christ as we surrender ourselves to Him and as we surrender ourselves to one another. So let's look at how this needs to impact our families. Just some questions for you to think about as we bring this to a conclusion today. As you go about your day, are you working toward so-and-so's best? Are you looking toward your wife's best, your husband's best, your child's best, your co-worker's best? Are you caring for them in the situation that you find yourself in? Do you deeply care for them? Are you empathizing with them? Are you considering the emotional encouragement or the emotional damage that will come? Are you considering the emotional encouragement that will come by submitting to them? Are you also considering the emotional damage and scarring that will come by not doing so? Are you looking for others in a way to serve them, or are you pushing your agenda and your desires upon them? It's really the question that we have to ask ourselves today. Now, I want to caution us before we go. Two things I need to caution you on. This does not mean that you have to always submit and always give up your desires. This does not mean that you cannot speak toward what you would like. How else would somebody else submit to you unless you communicate your desires? All right? So complete stepping away from your desires prevents someone else from submitting to you. Right? Next week, we're going to talk about, as we conclude this series, the idea of how to speak to one another, communicate to one another, have strong storytelling skills among one another. We're going to talk about that next week. So don't think that I'm asking you to just be quiet about your own desires. God gave them to you. God wants you to also communicate them to you in a healthy way. And the second thing is, this is not a license to tolerate the demands of others which are psychologically, physically, or emotionally damaging upon you. Sometimes we think of submission means I just have to be a doormat. No, that's not what I'm speaking of. And if that's you, if you find yourself in a situation where you're being emotionally damaged like that, I want you to seek help. I want you to come and talk to somebody about that, because that's not what we're trying to refer to. We're going to sing a song in response to this, a song that's old in the church, a song that speaks of ultimate surrender to our Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment, and we're going to sing this, but I want to leave us with this question of, why is the idea of submission so important for us? Why is the idea of submission so important for you, for every member of your family? I really believe it's because of this. Submission our submission to one another paves the way for our submission to God. And that's our goal. A submitted heart to God. I also believe the opposite is true, that our submission to God paves the way for our ability to submit to one another. And that's where we begin to see that circular pattern, not a one-way direction of top, down, and the bottom people just have to deal with it. That's not biblical submission. What we see in Scripture and what we understand to be the strength of your family unit, no matter what your family unit looks like, is the ability to submit to God and enabling you to submit to others. And through your submission to others, it enhances your ability to submit to God. And it just goes like this. And God makes us stronger. God makes our family units healthier. God restores us. He heals us as we love people that way. Can we pray together? Lord God, today, we've dealt with a topic that is not necessarily all that enjoyable. But I believe, God, through your word, you've enhanced our idea, you've challenged our idea, you've given us a better vision of what submission can and does look like. I pray, God, for our family units that are represented today, that you would bless them and help them. I pray, God, that as we sing about submitting to you, that you will warm our hearts to yielding our lives to you. And as we do so, we can easily yield our lives to others and help serve others. Be in this moment. Don't let us just come here and hear words. Let us be challenged and changed and renewed through them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.